Welcome to the show, sports fans. This is the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is another edition of the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com, where we are breaking down the biggest stories week in, week out in District 3, the Treasure Valley in the great state of Idaho. My name is Brandon Bainey. We are joined by our Treasure Valley resident and expert, Logan Green. LG, what's up?
Hey, Brandon. Doing good. Got back from Pocatello over the weekend. Did the DirectCom Invitational track meet. It was a great event. We couldn't have had any better weather. It was a little chilly, I guess, if you wanted it to be a little bit better. Maybe 5 to 7 degrees warmer would have been great, but not a cloud in the sky. It was a great day, which is so different than the last few that we've done there. So it was a great event. It was just a good check-in in the middle of the season for track and field here in the state of Idaho.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about that DirectCom invite last weekend, last Friday from Pocatello. It was broadcast live on idahosports.com. We did have some Treasure Valley teams over there competing. You mentioned the weather, though, and the weather's been pretty darn good lately. So much so, in fact, Logan, that the McCall Donnelly baseball team got to play their first home game since 2022 last night. They went almost 2 full years without having a home game.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Last winter was just wet and snowy, and this year it seems like we've had a dry spell, at least here in the Treasure Valley, for a couple of weeks without any rain. So it's nice. McCall Donnelly benefits from it, and they get a home baseball game. And I think you've got a picture here to show everybody, right?
Yeah, so this picture is from idahosports.com broadcaster, also the JV baseball coach at Parma High School, Will Henneke. That's who they played last night, was Parma. So Will was able to snap a picture for us, and look at that, Logan. Baseball in McCall. It just feels right.
Yeah, and you can, it looks like there might be a softball game back there as well. I need to check the schedule. But it looks like maybe some softball going on. But it looks like a great day in McCall right there. It looks like a great sunny day, and that's what we've been waiting for. At least that's what those folks have been waiting for, to have that first home game. Can you imagine that your entire season is on the road, that you are going every, and it's not like you're not near anybody in your conference. Weezer, but that's still about an hour and a half drive, I think, roughly. So every night you're on the road, so it's nice to stay home for the Vandals.
You can see in this picture, if you're watching this on the idahosports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, or Twitter account, we do the show live every week on those platforms, but you can also watch on replay. So if you're watching this, you can see the picture that we're showing you. If you're listening audio only at idahosports.com or wherever you download and subscribe to podcasts, maybe jump over to YouTube and check out the video just this week. You can see a couple of small piles of snow still there, Logan, beyond left field, right?
Just sneaking in there. And I think it was Parma. Yeah, they played Parma, the softball team, as well. So
yes.
The double feature. If you hit a home run, the other team has to throw it back to you, or the other game has to throw it back. It looks like those fences go right up against each other.
Yeah, could you imagine being an outfielder in the other game and heads up
by the ball coming through? That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool. So anyways, yes, Parma was in town in McCall last night for softball and baseball. McCall Donnelly won the softball game 11-1, but Parma took the baseball game 9-2. So a little split there between the schools, and we'll talk a little more baseball coming up here on the show. But Logan, we wanted to start in track and field, since that was kind of what we were really covering last week on idahosports.com, the DirectCom Invitational from Pocatello, Idaho State University's Davis Field, which is just an immaculate awesome facility. We had Nampa Christian and New Plymouth make the trip over from the Treasure Valley. There were 32 teams in total competing, and just a great day for some track and field action.
Yeah, and you know, I was in the box most of the day, and overhearing some people in the box that couldn't compliment New Plymouth's uniforms enough up there. And New Plymouth had, I think they had their navy shorts, but their shirts were like checkered. They were white and navy checkered. And so, you know, a lot of teams blend together. You know, there's some that really stand out, right? With the Marsh Valley, red and Carolina blue. You know that that's Marsh Valley. But, you know, there could be a lot of blacks and blues and reds and whites that are get all mixed in. And, you know, those teams are, you know, the same colors. But they really stuck out, right? That they had those differentiating uniforms, and multiple people were like, I really like those New Plymouth uniforms. So if nothing else to say about New Plymouth, the jerseys were awesome. But the team showed up well. They brought a lot of people. And so did Nampa Christian. And Nampa Christian did very well at the meet.
Yeah, the Nampa Christian boys took third overall in the team race, Logan. They finished with a grand total of, I think it was 56 points, which was good enough for third. They finished, 56. The winner was Snake River at 63. So they only finished 9 points off of the first place leader, and they only finished 4 points behind second place Pocatello. That's pretty encouraging for Nampa Christian.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a 3A school, Snake River, and a 4A school, Pocatello, right? So nobody at the 2A level was able to beat them in the meet. So you look at that and you say, hey, I came in first in my classification. And Pocatello had a lot of good runners in that meet. And it's funny, I guess I hadn't listened to the final stats that Snake River came in first. I don't know if they had anybody truly come out and just dominate. They just had so many that were close to the top and in the mix in every race that it was enough for them to win. But Nampa Christian too, it was just seemed like Nampa Christian was always in whatever heat it was. There was a Trojan, right? That was right there in the mix in that first, second, third in the heat.
Yeah. Strength in numbers for sure. So Logan, last year they brought in a bunch of donuts for people to eat, but then they also held some fun like throwers relays, and the winning team got donuts. Did they do that again this
year? They did. Okay, that we need to pull up the video. It was awesome. So one of the teams, I can't remember who, I think it was Mackie, I think, that or Chalice. They had those big blow up costumes, like a dinosaur. Somebody ran in as a unicorn. Somebody was an alligator. It was hilarious. It was really funny. They won donuts. They had a big box of donuts for the winners of the throwers relay. But as always, a fun event that they have at the DirectCom every year. And it didn't disappoint this year as well.
How far into the meet was that, Logan?
Oh,
was it towards the end?
No. So they did it. So they were going to do it like towards the beginning, but the throwers weren't done. I would say probably 2/3 of the way through.
Okay. I'll try to search for it real quick. This is stuff we didn't talk about in our pre-production meeting.
No. Yeah, we should. I forgot about it. It was really funny. Like it was like actual, not just, oh, that's funny. Like actual laughing because it was good. But,
I remember last year there were costumes and one team had like Twinkies on the little string in front of them that they were chasing. Yep.
This one they had one of the boys team had jean cutoff shorts and overall tank top, you know, and, Those were really good. Trying to think of what, but the costumes were, it was just really funny because, you know, they can't like fully run. So it just looks like those little unicorns like waddling down the track. it was pretty good. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. It was a good time for sure at the DirectCom invite. Also taking place last week, Logan, a pretty good Treasure Valley contingent went to the Oregon relays to compete again. And we all know about track and field in Oregon, right? That's where Nike is headquartered, and just incredible track and field state. And so we had a lot of individuals from the Treasure Valley go over and compete. A lot of Boise High athletes that did exceptionally well. We will have a full rundown of that on this week's edition of the Bell Lap. That is Marlo Herford's weekly check-in of all of the track and field nuggets and notes that she discovers throughout the week. She talked a lot about Christine Huckins, the great sprinter from Capital this year, who's rewriting record books left and right, and a big recap of the Oregon relays. And so if you want to check out all of that great stuff, by the time we're done with the show and you're watching this, it should be up on the homepage at idahosports.com. But no surprise, I mean, track and field going strong in the Treasure Valley.
Yeah. And, you know, again, just right in the thick of things, a lot of teams. It's good to see people going in different directions, right? In a good way, right? Some teams going over to East Idaho to do meets. Some teams going to Oregon to do meets. We're spreading the love out and getting to as many places as we can to see how our athletes compare to others around and not just right here locally.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's turn the page to baseball and softball. We started with a little baseball preview there with McCall Donnelly playing last night against Parma. We try to do one deep dive each week on the show, right? A baseball deep dive and a softball deep dive. Tell you a team that's really excelling and a team that maybe you should keep your eyes on. And so for baseball this week, Logan, I thought it would be good to check in on Idaho City. We haven't talked a lot of 1A baseball this year in the Western Idaho Conference, you know, mostly because this is a league that has been dominated by Glens Ferry over the years, which is a District 4 team. They don't really fall into that Treasure Valley purview, but they do play in this district. But here's Idaho City all of a sudden, Logan. They're 8-1 in conference play. That's good enough for a tie atop the leaderboard, and they're 10-5 overall. It's been a great season for Coach Brian Hunneke and the Wildcats.
Yeah, and you know, they just recently, I mean, we had the story a couple years ago, Brandon, I think you did it, right, where they were playing their games there at the Hawk Stadium. They didn't have a field, and they're, you know, another team like McCall, right, where snow is on the ground for a good chunk of the season. But so far this year, I mean, they've had a good run as of late, right? Have the Wildcats. They've won some tough games, like you mentioned. They beat Glens Ferry last week. They did fall to Lighthouse Christian on Saturday. But before that loss to Lighthouse Christian, the only losses that they had on the season came to 2A schools. They had lost to Melba, the Chalice Mackey Co-op, as well as Butte County, and Salmon and North Star Charter. So they had lost it. Those are teams in the classification above them yet to lose to a 1A school until they fall to Lighthouse Christian. But it'll be, you know, like we say all the time, we need to see somebody break through here in District 3 right at state. And could maybe this be the year? And could it be maybe Idaho City? They've got a lot of players that can get it done in a variety of different ways. They've got a couple of players batting at a high level. Higgins, the senior, he hits over 400. Goodman hits over 400. Martini hits at 372. Alvera hits at 524, and then Jewel at 368. So they've got a couple of core batters in there that hit the ball very well. So we'll see going down the stretch what it looks like here for the Wildcats.
Yeah, and then on the mound, they really lean on a pair of seniors, Tell Jewel and Dax Alvera. That's kind of their 1-2. Dax Alvera pitched really well last year at the state tournament, where Idaho City not only qualified for their first baseball tournament in school history, but also won their first game at state in school history as well, against Vision Charter in a loser out contest. And so that was really fun to cover last year. I'll tell you this, Logan, on Friday morning when Idaho City was playing Vision Charter, there wasn't much learning going on in the Idaho City school district. We had lots of people, you know, sending in shout outs. Hey, this is such and such as fourth grade class. And we're tuned in watching. And it was really
That's the best. We did that Kendrick Butte County football game that, you know, was the sad event where Dylan Waymeyer had his accident. But before that, we also sent it for shout outs. And I was like, is anybody even doing anything in Kendrick schools right now? Cause that was, this is a second grade class from Kendrick Elementary tuning in. I love that. I love seeing that when people tune in. But Brandon, when I look at the standings right for the White Pine right now, you know, Troy, Kendrick, Potlatch look very good, but Clearwater a little susceptible right now. At least on paper, right? They're 7-11, so maybe there's an opportunity for a District 1 team or District, excuse me, District 3 team to maybe get a win in the first round that has not looked promising in past years.
Yeah, the last time a team from District 3 got a win at state was, I think, 3 years ago, and it was North Star Charter.
Yeah.
And they've since moved up to 2A. And in fact, that season, North Star Charter got all the way to the I'm kind of like the 1A baseball guy. Two of the past three 1A state tournaments I've been on the call for, Logan. So I know the history. North Star Charter actually got all the way to the championship that year and lost to Genesee. But otherwise, everybody else kind of got swept out. And so, and same thing last year where all four teams from up north swept in the opening round last year, which led to those District 3 on District 3 loser out games. I misspoke earlier. Idaho City actually beat Glens Ferry in a loser out game and then lost Vision Charter on Saturday 5-4 on a walk-off wild pitch. Basically, Vision Charter got the win on Saturday. But it's a clear-cut four teams that are going to qualify for state from District 3 this year. And to me, it's the four teams that are at the top of the standings, right? Lighthouse yeah. Christian, Idaho City, Glens Ferry, Vision Charter. After that, there is a significant drop off to Rimrock, Garden Valley, Wilder, and Gem State. In fact, Gem State and Rimrock have had to forfeit some baseball games recently. And I hope they can get things turned around and take the field and be a part of the district tournament, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, because you know, Lighthouse Christian, they have one conference loss on the year. And I believe, well, they lost to Rimrock on the opening game of the season. But, you know, that was a long time ago. We'll see what happens. I mean, if somebody maybe can get in there, if Rimrock can avoid the forfeit situation, maybe we see them make some noise. Outside of that, I think, like you said, it's probably those four that are going to be there.
Yep. And for Idaho City, two big dates on the calendar still, you know, to circle. They get Glens Ferry and Lighthouse Christian one more time each. They'll play Glens Ferry in the season finale. Mm-hmm. And then before that, they're going to play Lighthouse. They're going to have to travel to Lighthouse. That's kind of the tough part, right? They're going to have to travel to Lighthouse Christian, go to Twin Falls. By the way, Lighthouse Christian in just their second year as a baseball program overall. That'll be on April 29th. So that is this Saturday, right? Am I looking at the calendar right? Next Monday. Next Monday, they're at Lighthouse. And then season finale, May 3rd at home against Glens Ferry.
Yeah, a heck of a end of the season for those three teams. I think they all play each other for their last two games. Like, and even Lighthouse, they finished up the season against Declo and then Idaho City and Glens Ferry. So the whole conference is going to be fun down to the end. And then we'll have a district tournament to see. But you know what? There's no reason we couldn't see maybe a Idaho City, like we've talked about with what they can do. They've got a couple of players that can get it done at different levels. Jewel's got two home runs on the season, a couple of guys with double digit RBIs. We mentioned Higgins, Goodman, Olvera, and Jewel all in double digits in terms of RBIs. So they've got guys that can do it at the plate. And then you mentioned the pitching staff. So, you know, we'll cross our fingers and hope for good to come for Idaho City at the state tournament in a couple of weeks.
Yep. And so, yeah, it's a really interesting race at the top. Lighthouse Christian, they're only loss came to Vision Charter, and the Eagles I think are still kind of dangerous. They're 6-4 in league play. Caleb Wilson in his second year coaching the Eagles as well has a lot of good athletes also. So that top four, it's going to be fun to watch them duke it out here down the stretch for sure. All right, let's move over to the softball side of things, Logan, where there is a huge game tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday, April 23rd, tonight in the 4A SIC, Southern Idaho Conference. It is Emmett at Bishop Kelly. These two teams are both undefeated in conference play. The winner of this game will be alone in first place at the end of the night.
Yeah, this is what you want, right? I love it when the schedule works out like that. I know you corrected me on where they go down, I guess, in one, you know, in alphabetical order. But whether or not that's what happened here in the 4A SIC or not, it worked out in a great way, right? Where these two teams could stay undefeated for a long time in conference play before finally meeting up with each other. And I mean, you look at what they've been able to do the last couple of games, Emmett, they have just completely rolled through what's been on their plate. And now they get to meet up with Bishop Kelly. Excited to see what happens in that game tonight between those two. And then, you know, they play again next Monday. So we're going to get it before we meet again. More than likely, we will have seen them play twice on the field. So we'll have a little more context to that next week even.
Yeah, and our deep dive that we're going to do this week is into the Emmett softball program, because I'll admit, Logan, they came out of nowhere. They were not on my radar, and maybe people outside of Emmett, if anybody says they were on their radar, I don't know if I believe them, because for so long in this league, it has been Bishop Kelly, it has been Skyview, they're the defending 4A state champions, and then really Valley View and Ridgeview have both been really strong over the past couple of years. And so for Emmett, this is just a really awesome season for them. They're 11-3 overall, 7-0 in conference play. And when you look at their wins, I mean, it's an impressive slate of victories. Their only losses, Logan, have come to Middleton, which is one of the best 5A teams, Meridian by a run, 7-6.
Yep.
That's a 5A team. And then they lost to Gooding, which is a good 3A team, in extra innings, 2-1.
Yeah. And those non-conference games are always tough, and they hung in there with like you said, with a 5A Meridian. Middleton is tough to beat at any level. And, you know, Middleton was even, you know, this is only their second year up, right, in softball. They were also one of the teams that you had to deal with in the 4A SIC for a long time. Not anymore, but, Emmett's just been a great run by Emmett, and very excited to see what happens in this game tonight between these two.
Yeah, so when we look at, you know, leaders for this Emmett team, at the plate, a pair of seniors are really carrying the torch here. Kayla Valberg and then also Katie Martinez, each batting over 520. Valberg batting 531 with, I love the symmetry here, two home runs, two triples, two doubles. So deuces wild for Valberg. Martinez is batting 523 with two homers, three triples, and a double. And that's not even the top home run hitter. The top home run hitter, Logan, is senior Harper Goodwin. She's hit five homers this year.
Yeah, she's got five homers, 22 RBIs, and four doubles. So she can really get it done at the plate, right? When you've got somebody who can knock it out of the park, she's got five homers, 22 RBIs. That's dangerous, right, to have there at your disposal. And if you look at it by average of the, you know, she's only the fifth best hitter on the team in terms of averages, right? There are still people, I'm using air quotes, better, right, on paper in terms of the average that still have to come, and you still got a player like this. And we talked about this last week when we were looking at somebody else's roster, right, where you're 1 through 5 that you've got. There's no drop between the 1 and the 5, and that's just a great weapon to have at any time on the field.
Yeah, big credit to Coach Sean Marquez and what he's doing here at Emmett. Emmett last year wasn't bad, Logan. They went 16-12. They were 7-5 in league play. That was good enough for a third place finish in the SIC with a lot of these same players that we're talking about here. Valberg and Goodwin and Natalie Goslin, who's a junior, who's a dynamic athlete. And so you're thinking, okay, well, what's the big difference? Is it improvement from everybody? Yes, I think everybody has elevated their game in the offseason, but really where the biggest difference that I've seen is they've got a freshman dynamo inside the pitcher's circle. Oakley Scheib, and is it Scheib or Scheibe? Her brother plays football for Emmett. So, and I know you did.
I think Scheibe, but maybe I apologize to everybody in Emmett, but maybe that's wrong. I feel like it's Scheibe, but I'm not going to put my name to it.
Okay, if we're wrong on that, somebody let us know. Oakley Scheibe, freshman in the pitcher circle, Logan. She has thrown 97% of the innings for Emmett this year. She is 77 2/3 innings, 117 strikeouts to just 33 walks. That is more than a strikeout per inning.
Yeah, that's strikeout and a half almost per inning, right? And then you're not walking a lot of people. You're not giving up that person on base. I know we've talked about this before, but a lot of teams like to play the small ball, right? You get somebody on base and you manufacture a run, and she's not even allowing that to happen, right? You're not putting anybody in position to get on and find their way to second and then, you know, sneak in a cheap, easy run. Striking people out at the plate, not giving them a chance to put it in play. And like you said, a freshman, that makes a big difference. So, you know, if you want to look at things this year to last year, right, you said 16 and 12, 7 and 5. What's the difference? Could it be the freshman pitcher, right? Not in the picture last year, in the picture this year, and is really the one on the mound that's getting it done right now for the Huskies.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I know in Major League Baseball, a popular stat is K per nine, right? Hey, how many strikeouts per nine innings is this guy accumulated? Of course, in softball, it's seven innings. So I just tallied the K per seven. Logan, it's like 16 strikeouts per seven innings for Shibe. And then you have to factor in a lot of these games are one via the 10 run rule. So it's only a five inning game.
Yeah. I know if you really broke it down, like she's just blowing through the teams, right? Just absolutely blowing through them.
It's been a lot of fun to watch this Emmett team.
Get up, sit down. That's the. A lot of working out from the opposing teams, right? Get up, go back down.
We'll see how Shibe does tonight against the Bishop Kelly Bomb Squad, Logan. This is a tradition they started a couple years ago. BK, they like calling themselves the Bomb Squad. They've got a lot of power threats, a lot of players that can leave the yard. And every time somebody from Bishop Kelly hits a home run, you know, they take a picture with the ball after the game. And hey, another addition to the Bomb Squad. So we'll see tonight, you know, what can win, pitching or that power hitting of Bishop Kelly. It'll be really fun.
Yeah. Excited to see. And again, hopefully by the time we meet next week, we'll even have two of these games under our belt that we'll have to at least look back on and see maybe how the end of the season will look.
Yeah, they do. They play tonight at BK and then next Monday, the 29th in Emmett. So yeah, we'll be able to talk about both of those games, Logan, on next week's show. Should be a lot of fun. All right, let's wrap up with a little tennis talk here, Logan. The biggest tennis competition of the year in Idaho is taking place this weekend. And this is, I think, bigger than state tournament weekend, just in terms of state tournament weekend is kind of spread out. Whereas this is a singular event that is bringing, you know, like 30 plus teams to the Treasure Valley. It's the annual Capital Classic tennis tournament. Should be an exciting time.
Yeah, a lot of teams coming in, a lot of teams from all over the state making the trip. Got some from East Idaho, got stuff from North Idaho, like Lewiston, teams from other states, like in Oregon. It should be a great event this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, I reached out to our IdahoSports.com tennis analyst. That's Sean Kane, our East Idaho PrepCast host. He's also the head tennis coach at Century High School in Pocatello. His Diamondbacks are coming for the Capital Classic. I said, hey, give me the list of teams that are coming, and he obliged. Look at this. Capital, Bishop Kelly, Boise, Bonneville, Bora, Capital, Centennial, Century, Columbia, Eagle, Fruitland, Hermiston, Oregon, Hillcrest, Idaho Falls, Cami Aiken from Washington, CUNA, Lewiston, Madison, Meridian, Middleton, Mountain View, Nampa, Owyhee, Parma, Ridgeview, Rocky Mountain, Skyline, Skyview, Thunder Ridge, Timberline, Twin Falls, Valley View, Wood River. Wood River came in one or finished top three last year, I think.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that Wood River came in and did really well. But yeah, like, I mean, every Idaho Falls high school is there. Hillcrest, Idaho Falls, Skyline, and Thunder Ridge. So we've got the entire 8B represented and Bonneville. Yep, there it is. So we've got everybody. So good luck to every team except for Century. I hope that I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Sean, but hopefully, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a great event like it always is. You know, there's so many teams. I always love these. You know, you can see where you stack up, right? Because you don't always get to see teams from other sides of the state or other states, and you really get to measure. It's a good measuring stick for yourself.
Sean has given us his teams to watch to win it all. Boise, Eagle, Timberline, no surprises there. And that's, Boise boys and girls, Eagles always strong in both. Timberline's just got Dennis players out the wazoo.
Yeah.
You know, I would add, and Sean, you tell me if I'm wrong here, other teams I'm keeping an eye on, Middleton. Middleton's had some strong individuals this year. And then I'm always interested in the 3A powers, like Fruitland, we talked about a couple weeks ago, has had a nice season. Parma on the girls' side is always really good in tennis. I want to see how they do against these 5A and 4A competitors.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you go in the gym at Parma and there's a couple banners for other sports, and then there's a ton of tennis banners all over in the Parma gym. A very good tennis program Parma is.
Yeah. Sean agrees with this. Parma. And then, of course, the obligatory BK, right? Got to watch for Bishop Kelly, and it doesn't matter. It could be
doesn't matter to checkers. The sport. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Even in checkers.
I think that's our podcast title. Even in checkers. All right. Good luck to all of the tennis athletes that are going to be competing this weekend at the Capital Classic. It is the signature tennis event in the state of Idaho. It takes a lot of people to put it on. It takes place at, you know, 5 or 6 different venues, and
yeah.
It's a big event.
So, I mean, here's the thing. Last week when we were there at the DirectCom, you know, Lance Taylor was up with us up there in the booth, was us with us doing PA and having that come across on the broadcast. And he was saying any other track meet with this many people, we don't get out of there before 10 PM. And, we were out, I think out packed up and out the door by around 8 o'clock. And it was just so well run. And, you know, there's just so much that you don't recognize goes into an event like this. And this is the same type of event, right, where you've got 24 teams coming in from all around the state that need to be seated and put in their right spot and go between different locations all around. And so kudos to everybody that's involved in putting that together. We know it's not an easy thing, and you probably don't get the recognition that you deserve because of doing things like that. And just thanks for putting those on for all the young student athletes.
Yeah. 32 teams coming this year. 32. In years past, they've had upwards of 40 plus teams, and then COVID happened and they kind of scaled it back a little bit. Sean says it's the biggest tennis event in the Northwest, and it is one of the great yearly traditions.
Well, last year, I think they had some of them being played at Bora, because my niece had a volleyball tournament at Bora, and we went over there, and there were so many people. Like, there was this huge volleyball tournament at Bora, plus they were playing tennis at Bora. Couldn't find a place to park on a Saturday afternoon. You're like, this is not normal on a Saturday at a high school, right? But just so much going on, and looking forward to seeing how it goes out this year.
Yeah, this was started years ago by Tom Campbell, the former Capital High coach, the greatest tennis coach in Idaho high school history. I think like 14 state championships in his career as a coach. Yes. And Sean says, yes, Bora. Yeah. Yes. And so it was huge last year. Yeah, Capital Classic. It's going to be a great weekend for tennis. Hopefully the weather cooperates. I think it's going to be a great weekend weather-wise, but we'll see. Sean says Bora, the hottest place on earth.
I remember that day well, because that was the day my washing machine decided to break, and so I had my niece was playing in that volleyball tournament, and I was right there getting a new it was a long day. It was a warm day. It was.
Yep. All right, well, we hope the weather cooperates once again this year for the Capital Classic tennis tournament. Good luck to all the tennis teams. Good luck to all the baseball, softball, golf, track and field athletes competing as well. Thank you for tuning into the Treasure Valley Prepcast, everybody. Enjoy the competition this weekend. Travel safe to wherever you're headed, and we'll see you back here next week for another edition. For Logan Green, I'm Brandon Bainey. Thanks for tuning in to the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com.